Welcome to another broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen. Please, stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast to learn how God can use you to impact the lives of people around the world. And now, here's today's message.
Let's pray together. Father, I do want to just thank you for being our hope. For those that have recognized and acknowledged who you are. Lord, we are this morning want to ask that you'd help us to remember you and to think about our lives and the direction, the focus, where we give our time, where we give our energy, our allegiance, even our money. God, really where we worship this morning. And so, Father, I just want to ask that you'd help us to better understand really what your hopes are for us in this world. And as a result of being here this morning, and give you thanks for each person that's here. And just pray, Lord, you would just give us a time that our affection for you increases as a result of being here. And we pray these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, it's good to see everybody. If this is your first time, I just want to just say welcome to you. We're glad you're here. Somebody should have put one of these in your hands. If not, there's some in the back. And it's just an opportunity for you, if you would like, just to be able to fill this out. Let us know a little bit about your family and maybe how we could contact you through phone or email. I'm not going to show up at your house or anything, but it's just a way for you to be able to communicate with us here a little bit more about LifePoint. And we look forward to getting to experience that for you. If you have a preschooler here this morning, I just want to say there was just some kind of mix-up with some of the volunteer schedules, and the person that was supposed to be here is not here. And you know, I asked four or five people, and nobody volunteered for that. I don't understand. I'm kidding. I didn't ask anybody. But I just, if it's okay with you, and you might be staring at, not like you're going to say, no, it's not okay. But if I promise to be brief, could we all just stay in here? Would that be okay with everybody? All right. And if not, you can go back there, and maybe Tommy and Rex could watch them. I wouldn't suggest that. But maybe they would do that. So this morning, kind of our task here this morning is to prepare ourselves to take the Lord's Supper and remember really Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for us. And if I would start out to say that it's for believers, people that have acknowledged Christ as their personal Savior, recognize their sin, recognize the free gift of Christ through his death on the cross, and accepted that, made that a part of their life, and lived by that. And so this morning is really just to allow us to remember it again. Jesus did that before he died, we know, and it allows us the opportunity to do that this morning and to remember him. Because if you're like me, you forget. It's not that you forget about the cross, and it's not like, oh, I forgot that happened, but you forget the weight of that and the real direction of that and really what that causes to be different in life. And I think we do that a lot. I hear right now from a lot of parents that they're about to send their children off to college. And you know what I hear? I hear, I wish I had them one more year. I'd love for them to stay one more year. You know, you see a dad as he's giving his daughter away to be married. And he goes, I wish I just had one more daddy date. And sometimes people live sometimes in regret or even just the fact that people move on and that things happen. I mean, I understand it's going to happen with my daughters one day. And, you know, I've told them at 40 years old, they're more than welcome to go ahead and think about starting getting married. And that'll be fine. And I get to pick him, whoever it is. And those kind of things are real clear in our family. But I just thought I would share just real briefly with you just a surprise for me at coming to Christ at 19 and being in church, you know, being there before, but really understanding a walk with Christ at 19. And I don't know why there was a church here in Greenville about 3 months after I made that public profession and really started talking about it openly with my friends. They asked me to come and be on staff, middle school student pastor, 175 attender kids there. I don't know what they were thinking to this day. Maybe they couldn't find anybody else that would do that job, but they asked me and I did it. And it was a great opportunity for me to get to do that. But I will tell you, one of the surprises for me is I really started to engage in the church and really started to be a part of just what was going on in churches. I was surprised because my life was different. And so were the people that attended church. And I'm speaking church universal here. But I felt like, and sometimes I even feel like even today, that they've forgotten something very important about the journey of faith. And I hope maybe this morning that I can remind us all as we approach the table and as we take this bread and this juice, and it reminds us symbolically of what Jesus told us he wanted us to remember. You see, there's a constant adjustment in Christian faith, and believers must make that and make those adjustments at times. And we need to walk, you know, in this path of faith. So what I said this morning was we wanted to remember that walking in humility throughout your faith, throughout your walk in faith. I heard a pastor say one time, and I even shared this, I remember one time with you, and I say this to teenagers all the time, is that the adjustment that you have to make is real similar to being on a sailboat. Now, I grew up in Easley. I moved 19 times, and then at 12 years old, I moved to Easley, South Carolina, my mom's hometown, and went to middle school or junior high there and high school all in the same place. And so there's not exactly a big yacht club in Easley, South Carolina, if you don't know. But one time we were down at the beach when I was in college. And you know when you're in college, sorry if you're in college right now, but and you're a guy, you just think you can do anything, you know. And we were down at the beach at a family with a family, and they go, hey, there's a sailboat. You two guys, it was a friend of mine, you two guys feel free to take that out. And we're like, okay, 0%. Zero days experience in sailing. And the bad thing that day that happened was is the wind was blowing out that day, which made us really look like sailors as soon as we got past the surf, because we were just flying. I mean, it was beautiful. Dolphins were jumping beside us. I mean, it was just this, you know, real, it was. And I looked over at my friend Jonathan, and I was like, man, this is awesome. I mean, we're sailors. I mean, look at us. And we turn around, and I see our house on the beach, and it's about this big. And I'm like, well, I guess we ought to turn around. And so we turned around, and the wind did not change directions when we did that. And that was a problem at that point. No motor. Again, this is why I tell teenage girls over and over and over again that before a boy turns 25, he does not have a mind. And there's something wrong there. And that the insurance, car insurance, if you know anything about car insurance, at 25, they drop a young man's car insurance almost in half. They sent me a check when I turned 25. And that's just kind of how insurance comes, because they know something. Because it was true about me, and it's true about most guys, you know, in that area. And I tell teenage girls this all the time, need to be careful. They're going to be okay one day, but right now, the connection is not connecting, and it connects every once in a while, but most of the time it doesn't. And that's why I have such great relationships with teenage boys, because I share stories like that. But here we are out, and the house is this big, and we turn around, the sail goes limp. And we kind of look at each other like, what do we do? And I remembered, I don't know where, but I remember there's this term in sailing called tacking. All right? And what it means is that you can't go, if you don't have the wind, you can't go in a straight line like what we had just done, but you have to move a little bit way sideways and then move back, you know, go down. And you're always moving forward, not near as fast as a straight line, but you always keep your reference point on where what your goal is. And I just want to suggest to you this morning that part of our walk as Christians, and I would tell you this, if you're not a Christian today, or maybe you're considering faith, part of being a Christian is that you don't pray the prayer and then immediately everything, you're a great decision maker and you just are so good at dealing with conflict and you're so good at dealing with other relationships and you suddenly just everything's perfect. Because I think sometimes Christians exude that. What happened this week? Oh, I wrecked my car. Praise the Lord. You know? This week, for me, you know, just everybody was, how's the job going? Well, the stock market went down 100,000 points this week. Praise the Lord. That was awesome. You know? No, that's not good. It's not good that you wreck your car. It's not good that you hit your finger with a hammer. It's not good when you're selfish to your spouse. It's not good when you do things that aren't right for your kids and you have to go back and maybe even apologize to them. It's not. But that's part of understanding our goal that Jesus called us is to live Christ-like lives. And we always have that as our goal, and we're tacking. And we might be 1 degree off, we need to move ourselves back in. We might be, you know, 45 degrees off, move it back in. Some people try to live this 90-degree life, I think, at times. I can kind of see it. I'm not getting any further away. I'm not getting any closer. And yet there's some people that are just going the exact opposite way. And so there's this constant pull for us to move things back in line. Well, I thought I would share with you, I'm just doing student ministry. I'll tell you a quick story this week. I went and got a haircut this week at a new place because I didn't plan out far enough for my person that cut my hair. And so I had to go to this place, and I sit down, and this little girl, she's like 25. She's looking at me. She's starting her hair, and she's kind of looking at me. And I'm like, why is this girl looking at me? You know, what, you know? And she goes, I think I know you from somewhere. And I said, well, and then I start going naming places, churches that I've worked at. She goes, oh, yeah. You taught me at Mitchell Road Christian Academy. You were my Bible teacher. And I was like, I have no idea who you are. I mean, I didn't say this, but I was thinking, I have no idea who you are. And because, you know, I've heard it said, as soon as the face starts to clear up, the mind starts to blur. And so that was where, you know, I was just getting, you know, it just kind of blurs. And sometimes I don't recognize teenagers, but I have to look at their parents to recognize them if I haven't seen them in a while. And then, you know, I'm able to see this. But I was thinking, though, about that this week because I really believe one of the real joys of my life is just getting to see these kids and, you know, getting to see how they've grown up. This little girl was pregnant, going to have her first baby in December. And you know, it was a joy for me. But part of maybe sometimes the funny part of that is that people get to know you over a long time and they know funny things about you. And I'm going to share something funny about me this morning to add to the long list that many of you already have. But I think that the movie Sister Act should have won an Academy Award, an Oscar. I mean, I think it should have just won them all. I think it should have been Best Picture of the Year. I think it's a great movie, and people make fun of me for that because they think it was funny that I like. And it's not so much the movie as much. I think I like the message. Tanya says she catches me watching it, and she sees there's a little grin on my face because I just kind of love the picture of it. And I thought this morning a couple of clips out of that movie would be a great picture for us about this need for change and adjustment that we have to make in our lives. So watch this first clip. And hold on a second. Sorry, Angela. I didn't do the right thing. Don't go back there. Go backwards. The thing is, this first clip, there's the actress, Whoopi Goldberg, and she is a Reno lounge singer. And she saw a murder, and so she's in witness protection. So they put her in to a convent with a bunch of nuns. And she is nothing like a nun. And it causes some issues. And this first picture is her sitting in the first mass, because it's in a Catholic church, and hearing what's going on in the in the service at that. So watch this.
Too many mornings. Something has gone terribly wrong. Where is faith? Where is celebration? Where is everyone? Still, rather than regret the absence of our neighbors, let us rejoice in the fellowship of those present. Our choir mistress, Sister Mary Lazarus, has informed me that our choir, while always superior, has been toiling especially hard on this week's election. Sister,
Okay. So feel free to give Brantley and the rest of the band a hug before you leave today. Say thank you so much for being here. That's kind of what was going on in this church. And, you know, and you hear the few, and it was this huge auditorium and or cathedral, beautiful cathedral. And, you know, looks like they were doing remodeling. They had stopped and things like that. And so Sister Mary Clarence, the lounge singer in witness protection, is at the choir, and they ask her, hey, what would you do differently to our choir? And so she takes over the choir, and this next scene is the first time that the new choir with Sister Mary Clarence comes into the next Mass and kind of what they decide to do in that part. So look at this. So two observations about those clips. The first one is this, is that there's the sin of the lack of understanding for those who need to move towards that need to hear what we have to say. You know, what we've got to share in this life and about the gospel and what the gospel has done differently, there is a need for that. And the fact is that there are times when that has to change and has to move forward. And can I just tell you, that is one of the hardest things for a church to do. Because we like what we like. That's why some of you in that new choir, in the new choir, the first part, you're like, oh. I mean, I agree, it was beautiful. But we like what we like. Second sin. Observation is this. It was the sin by those trying to creatively communicate this message. And that they worship the method of the message more than the message itself. Now, here's what I would tell you. Whichever one of those you agree with, you're probably guilty a lot of times of the other one. And it's usually the way that it works. Because I do believe, just as much as I believe that sometimes that churches have a difficult time transitioning into things that really reach people that are you know, without the gospel, without the light of Christ in their life. Historically, churches have always had a hard time doing that. But then at the same time, as churches have tried to adjust and try to meet people, sometimes the very method of them, of that maybe it would be worship or structure of the church, seems to be more of the thing that's being worshiped than the actual message of the songs or their mindset of the church. And so I would say to you that in thinking that churches do struggle with this, but people do too. People struggle with it as well. And people sometimes can worship the wrong thing, even within the church. You can worship the wrong thing even within your life and still love God. And if anybody asks you, do you love God? Yes, I love God. But then there'll be things that are out of balance within your walk with the Lord. And some of us struggle with just moving in a direction to help and think about people that are outside. People that have yet to know and understand more about this great message that we have. It's changed my life and changed many of your lives. And so I thought about that, and I've got it up on the screens for you, but I thought I just would read a few verses out of John chapter 8. It's a very familiar story, one of my most favorite stories in the New Testament. And here's what it says. But it says, early in the morning, he, me and Jesus, came again to the temple. And all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. And placing her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman's been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. So what do you say? They said this so they could test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. And Jesus bent down and he wrote his finger in the ground. I love being able to picture that just for a minute. Surrounded by people, these people that maybe we're that guilty of that first group, not willing and understanding the movement that needs to take place, where Paul said, I become all things to all people that I might reach some, not having that mindset. And what does Jesus do? He doesn't do what I would have done, because I would have probably thought, well, I can talk these people into seeing that they need to love this lady right here, because I would have thought that maybe I could do that. But Jesus, the best communicator ever, doesn't say a word, and he bends down and starts writing in the dirt like a 5-year-old little boy. A lot of biblical scholars think there was a lot going on, a few things going on there. They're all kind of guesses. Some people thought he was writing the sins, the ones making these accusations. Maybe he was writing, maybe the ultimate purpose, what he saw this lady's life could do. But look at the next slide, and I want to show you what he does when he stands up. He says, they continued to ask him. He stood up. And he said to them, let him who is without sin be among you to be the first to throw a stone at her. And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, woman, where are they? Just by the way, pause. He's the creator of the universe. He knows where they all are. You know, he knows where all they live. He knows how many hairs they have on their head. But he asked this question so that this lady who had been in sin could mark herself and mark this time period. And he says, where are they? Has no one condemned you? Another pause. Jesus would have been the only one with the right to have condemned her in that moment, because he was sinless as he stood before her. But instead, he says, the lady says, no, Lord, she said. And then the creator of the universe, the one that just a few months ahead is going to die on the cross for this lady and the act of adultery that she had just committed, says to her, well, I don't condemn you either. Go, and from now on, sin no more. Here's a question. Do you think she never sinned again? No, I would imagine if she's like me and you, she's probably sinned quite a few more times after that. But the hope and the call on this lady's life was to go and sin no more. It was the whole tacking thing. It was, hey, lady, you're going to move off the goal, but you got to move back. And there's such this struggle in the church, I believe, that for those of us that see the beauty of the gospel, there is this there's just this hope and this belief that maybe we can do enough spiritual things in our life for God sometimes to love us more. And it's amazing that we can kind of think that way at times, that we think we can earn more of God's love by doing more spiritual things. You know, I would probably say, if I could get so bold, is I would say that a lot of times, if you've been in the church a long time and been in faith a long time, this morning before you take the bread and the juice, I would encourage you to look at your life and ask yourself, am I loving the rules and the ways of God more than even God himself? Do I do that? Do I love? And I understand Scripture said we need to love his ways, but so often we can love and think that God's love back to us is based on how much we do for him, when Scripture's so clear that he loved us way before we even knew him, and that he looks at us and his first thought about you is love. His first move to you is grace, just like he showed this lady caught in adultery. And so I encourage you, maybe if you've been in faith for a while, to think about that this morning. And possibly the guilt, the sin of, you may want to call it legalism, you may want to call it a list of do good things for God, whatever you want to call it, that possibly your sailboat is a little off on that area. And this morning provides you an opportunity to move it back in line with what God calls you to do. Because in that, there's freedom. And it's not, you understand that God loves you over and over, not based on what you do. Even when you're over here, God's love for you is the same as if you were here. And that, we have a hard time with that because we don't have relationships that operate that way here on this earth. A lot of times it is conditional in what we do. But yet God's love for you is not that way. So I encourage you to think about that this morning. And then for some, this morning, just like maybe what I would consider Sister Mary Clarence in the video, that her focus was not on what was being sung, but how it was being sung, how entertaining it was, or beautiful, or right. That maybe for some of you that could possibly be the way. And so what that lives out to be is that a license to sin and do whatever. And that is not how God operates either. Romans 6, verses 1 and 2 says this. It says, that what shall we say then? Shall we keep on sinning and expect God's grace to keep coming? He says, God forbid. How shall we that are supposed to be dead to sin live any longer in it? And there's a movement in a believer's life that we constantly have to look and say, I can't stay in a way and out of fellowship with God and really be a believer. You can't stay over here and go, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. That there has to be that constant adjustment in your life. And it's one of the things that I so love about the Lord's Supper, is that it gives us an opportunity as a faith family to think about ourselves. And we don't have a microphone up here that lets people come up and say, here's my adjustment before I took the Lord's Supper. Because you know what? It's nobody else's business but yours and God's. And as you sit in your seat in a few moments and you know when it's time to come up, and if you want to bring your family is what we do. If this is your first time, we usually come up as family units and take the bread and the juice and go back to our seats. And the families can have their communion together. But before you ever go up to spend time and to think about what adjustments need to be made in your life. Are you guilty of this sin of pride, of legalism, of wanting it your way? Do you push against the change sometimes that comes? Is that kind of what you think is your right because you like church the way you want it? You know, I thought of one more thing this morning. There was a man years ago in my past that I met from Texas, and he's gone on to be with the Lord. But he said in front of a crowd one time, very bold. It's amazing. I told him, his name was Ron. Ron, I said, it's amazing how bold you can be when you leave later on that afternoon to fly back to Dallas, Texas. But he stood in front of this group of people one time that was struggling with change. And he had gray hair, you know, which is really cool, by the way. And he stood up in front of this crowd and he said, all of you out there with hair like mine, color. He goes, you've already got heaven. What else actually do you really want? That's pretty bold, wasn't it? But you know, it is true. It is true that for those of us that have faith, we have an eternity with Jesus ahead of us. And yet there are people, hundreds of people since we've come in this room, that have driven out in front of that highway that have no idea what we're talking about in here. And it is the call of a Christian through the Great Commission that Jesus said. It wasn't, hey, if you feel like it. It was a commission to all of us to make adjustments in our life to reach people that need to know him. And it's there. And I think it's a razor's edge of learning when to love people in this world while not being influenced by people in this world. That's the reason as parents we tell our kids, be careful who you hang out with. I don't know if you ought to hang out with that person because we understand it's so hard. But as you get older, you're able to think more critically, grow in maturity, and you're able to be your own person. You get more comfortable with who you are. And so the challenge this morning for you is, has that been your life call, or are the only people that you're around other Christians that believe just what you believe? And then the other call would be, before you come up, is that are you worshiping the right things about the Lord? Are you really worshiping him? Or do you find yourself coming to church, and I'll confess I've done this, and guys check me on it, going, man, I can't wait to hear the band. They're so good. I really love the worship at LifePoint. I know Brantley's heart well enough to know that's not what he wants. And I know God's heart well enough through his word, that's not what he wants for you either. Worshiping the things of God instead of God. So I think at times for all of us, for me especially, there is a call before we get up and take the bread and take the juice to remember. To remember to walk into humility as we go, but also remember where we came from. Even if we grew up in a Christian home, remember that we did have chains on us. And it was, we didn't see the beauty of Christ. And this gives us an opportunity to really see it in a true way. In just a moment, we're going to watch one more video. And at the close of the video, I'm going to pray and then we're going to watch the video. But at the close of the video will be our time to, if you want to come up at that point, you can come up and take the bread and the juice. But just use this video to remember. Remember the chains that used to bound all of us that are in faith. And remember that those chains are gone over you. So let's pray together. God, I just thank you for an opportunity for us to come together this morning and to think towards you and to think about these adjustments that maybe need to occur in our lives this morning. And so, God, just pull us in line with that this morning and help us to remember that your body was broken for us, that you shed your blood for us. God, to give us an opportunity to span the gap between us and you because of the sin in our lives. So, God, as a thankful people, we want to remember what you've done. Remember what we used to be. Remember what we are now. So, God, continue to use this time together in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If today's message has been an encouragement to you, would you consider partnering with this ministry to help reach more people with the life-changing message of Jesus Christ? Your prayers and financial gift would be a direct investment in changing lives for eternity by allowing us to continue spreading the gospel to people around the world. If God enables you to give, just visit our website at lifepointsc.org and click the online giving button. If you prefer to contact us by mail, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Thanks again for listening and for your investment in the mission of Christ. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.